Hi everyone, and welcome back to Transportation Insights. This is the podcast where we dive into the hottest freight market topics, trends and insights impacting the global ocean and air cargo transportation industry.
I am absolutely delighted to be joined today in the Transportation Insights studio by my two good colleagues, Wenwen Chang, air freight analyst, and Neil van der Wouw, our chief air freight officer. My name is Peter Sand. I'm the chief analyst at Syneta, the one place to go if you just need to know. And today, what you need to know is where the air freight markets will be heading in 2024. We at Syneta have put our great minds together, as we've done it before in ocean, approximately middle of October. We now do so also for the other part of our business, air freight. And that's why I have brought in these two persons to debate what we have as singled out six themes, which will all shape the market in different ways. Before we dive into the studio, I will just allow for my two guests to say hi to the audience as well. So please, Neil, you first.
Thank you, Peter. And good, what will it be, morning, afternoon, evening when you hear this? Neil van der Wouw, based in Amsterdam, spent most of my working life in air freight. And now, since last year, at Syneta, responsible for our overall air freight offering. And thank you for having me, Peter.
My pleasure. Wenwen, please.
Yeah. So thank you, Peter, Neil. And I'm your freight analyst. I'm based in Oslo and have been with Syneta for the past almost 7 years now. Yeah, thank you.
Great experience to bring into the studio when we are trying to find which factors will impact the market the most in 2024 when we are considering the air freight market. The impact that will be felt by shippers, BCOs, carriers, freight forwarders, anyone working in global supply chains. And those of you who are following market analytics from Syneta will, of course, also know that it's dear to my heart that we set the scene up front. Before we start talking about 2024, we need to know what are we talking on top of. The remainder of 2023 and basically what has happened in 2023. So allow me from a starting point to invite you, Neil, just to give us a recap of 2023 before we dive into what will happen and what will affect us most in 2024. Neil, over to you.
I think 2023 is the year where air freight came back to earth. There were 2 years with excessive high margins, profits, rates for airlines and freight forwarders alike. Everybody knew that would not continue for much longer. What may have surprised most of us is the speed of the descent, which we really saw in Q2 and Q3 of this year. But looking at the numbers for the last couple of months, Peter, I would argue that there's a new baseline for the overall air freight market.
All right.
From which it will build again. So the rates have come down. Capacity in most areas has normalized, not everywhere. And demand is still flattish. And what we do see at the end of this year, there's a bit of a blip, I would call it, not a structural change of e-commerce out of China and Hong Kong, which is pushing up rates into US. But overall, it is not at the end of year peak season we also did not expect. And I think that is also a bellwether for what we can expect the first few quarters of 2024. So we've come down to earth. I won't say back to normal, but pretty close to.
just before we deep dive into 2024, and thank you for that recap of 2023, Neil. I think we definitely need always to put things into perspective. And this, I will do so also by just giving you the headline figures for Sinetta's expectation for the air freight market in 2024. Our expectations are that demand will grow, less so than supply. Demand we see in the range of 1 to 2% up, whereas supply we see going up by 2 to 4%. We still see also that the spot rates, well, they will get back to a classic seasonal pattern. We will talk more about that in a short while, as we will also discuss the green transition that may also limit demand growth in some way, perhaps also supply, who knows? Well, we do some 25 minutes from now. We will also look at some of the contracts that that are signed right here, right now, in whichever way they will change between shippers, forwarders, and carriers. Without further ado, these six themes that we will debate are also ranked. And in the first place, we have consumer spending. We have taglined that consumer spending will keep the market subdued. In many ways, it relates, and it does so very naturally also to our number one place for ocean. Because at the end of the day, what really drives any market is the demand for it. And at the end of it, consumer spending. So, Neil, if I can bring your thoughts into this question up front, are we looking at a full year of, say, struggling consumer spending, only the first half, or what kind of, say, signals should we watch out for in terms of inflation or anything for, say, a development in the market that affects consumer spending?
Oh, big question, Peter.
That's why I brought you guys.
Let me try to narrow that down a little bit and make it a little bit more black and white and simple, because I'm not an economist. Considering what's going on in the marketplace at the moment, at the global marketplace in that sense, where people say, oh, interest rates have dropped, or inflation, I should say, in that sense. But then they go like 4%, comparing it to the 7 it was, let's say, recently. But 4% for many central banks, that's double the amount that they're looking for. So they still will be looking for ways to reduce inflation. Interest. Money was floating around very easily up to a couple of quarters ago. And to put things into perspective, if you can get a loan at 0.5%, where you can get a loan at 3%, that means your interest payments are six times higher. That must be felt by governments, companies, and also individuals around the world. So I don't see a lot of signals where I would think, well, consumers will be spending more in 24 than they did in 23. So I think they're going to be equal. Or a small decline, small upwards. I don't see a major support for air cargo demand if we just single out consumer spending. There are ample signals that economies that are still buoyant, and people, the scientists do not understand why it is still there, that they're figuring out that people still have money left from the massive support they received during COVID. But that is running out. So I'd like to think something is going to give. I don't know when, but I don't think it's an odd bet that would happen in 2024.
Neil, when I look at US jobless claims, they are just at 2-year high. To me, that's also not a good development. It's not something that seems to spur demand. But if I were to ask you for, say, some regional statements, will we see consumer spending in US much different from that in Europe or in Asia, for that matter? Will there be, say, strong growing demand in some places and less so in other places? How do you see that, say, diversity on a global and regional place?
Well, I struggle to make a comment on Asia Pacific, but I did read about a difference between the US and Europe. I think it was a study by the IMF where they try to understand what is pushing up inflation so much. And the conclusion was that for the US, the vast majority of that upward pressure was caused by an overheating economy. People spending too much, in that sense, right? My words, people spending too much. While in Europe, it was mainly caused by higher supply costs. So it was too much demand in the US and supply constraints and therefore costs in Europe. If you would follow that through, I think the risk of deflating consumer demand would therefore be higher in the US than we would see in Europe. So that is one I could more of a downward risk in the US versus Europe.
All right. Good stuff and good start to the recap and basically the discussion of the six factors that that mean the most to the market. I will now move on to the second place, and I will bring you in, Wenwen, because in second place we have the comeback of classic seasonality in 2024. You've taglined that familiar annual patterns could return. You go on talking about following 4 years of volatility. What will then be recognizable going forward? Please let me know what kind of the line of thinking are you referring to when you say that there is a comeback of the classic seasonality in 2024?
Yeah. So I think market for the past 4 years is really just like a roller coaster ride, right? We have this sharp decline in capacity at the beginning of onset of the pandemic. And that is also coupled with this surge of demand that is only last until Q1 2022. And then something we then experience is that the market slip around. And since the COVID restrictions lifted in 2022, and we really see this shift of consumer spending that, Neil, Peter, you covered just now. We have this shift of goods to services. And then with consumer demand at the way, then it is clear that this declining demand is also coincide with the supply picking up. I think it is very interesting that it's just like the economics world that for our real market, there's also this, I would like to call it an invisible hand that will always calibrate supply and demand of the market. So this is also what we exactly see in 2023, that since we are getting into the summer months, we already see a decelerated decline in both demand and supply. And that also gives us a good reason to be optimistic about the classic seasonality next year. And we are expecting especially towards the second half of the next year. And that is for one, we have this supply demand of goods recalibrate. And then also we just mentioned the labor market, we have the job opening and also the unemployment rate. The gap is also more balanced, I would say, with the interest that most likely will also go down in the second half. So all these signals kind of also point to the direction that there might be a recovery of those manufacturing activities in the next year.
We surely didn't see much of a peak season this year, but will we get something more, dramatic in development in the rates for next year? What do you forecast on that, Wenwen?
Yeah, I think for air freight, they tend to have a trait is that it kind of is a bear weather for the economic cycles. So when the economies are facing a downturn, usually the air freight volume will facing a faster decline than the rest of the trades. And when in the economic upturns, then we will see the air cargo volume to pick up faster. That is just by the nature of the inventory cycles, right? when there's overbuilding in the market, we will see less so of the demand. But then when that overbuilding is running out, then we will see air freight that can serve the urgent need for the demand.
Something of a familiar trend that we basically also expect for ocean, that classic seasonality to get back following crazy COVID years with something that was, say, unrecognizable in terms of the traditional seasons, simply because everything was impacted by so much else than the fundamental market factors. Allow me to continue to discuss the third theme that you have included in our report, and let me bring you in, Neil, because I mean, you have a number of times said that you like the smell of kerosene in the morning or something like that, but you also realize that you need to smell the bunker fuels also from time to time, because there is some sort of say interconnectedness between air freight and ocean freight, and if I am reading the header for the third team out loud here, schedule reliability of the ocean carriers will continue to impact the demand for air freight in 2020. I mean, will it be a fresh start to the air cargo industry? Well, Neil, pointing to you, is in which way would that be?
That was a figure of speech, yeah? Kerosene in the morning, because I literally live very close to Schiphol Airport, and we mm-hmm. do sometimes have that in the morning. And I'm not sure my wife would agree with that scent entering our house.
A bit of apocalypse now also included.
Yes. But let me go. So it's a number three. You know, if I could have had it my way, I might have even pushed this one up a notch. Let me take a step back. 97%, more or less, of intercontinental trade goes by ocean. 3% goes by air. And if that, let's say all that trade, if that grows by 1% or 2%, and air freight keeps its share, it grows slowly. But what we've seen in the last few years, that if the circumstances on the ocean side become so unreliable for shippers, they will be forced to have a higher share of the volumes moved by air relative to, let's say, more stable periods. So even if GDP would grow, or global trade would grow at a lackluster, let's say, lukewarm levels, mess on the ocean could have a big boost for air freight demand. And both Wen and myself, at conferences, we've shown slides where we see a very strong correlation between ocean reliability, whether that's from APAC to Europe or across the Atlantic, strong negative correlation between ocean reliability and air freight rates. So this is something that since joining Seneta, I've become fond of, to see how strongly related these different transportation modalities are. And to do the simple math, if instead of 97% of global trade goes by ocean, that becomes 96.7, which is a wash for ocean, it would mean for air freight, instead of 3% market share, it would mean 3.3%. market share, which would increase the air freight volumes by 10%, which would have a profound impact on demand, supply, and also rates. So the non-reliability on ocean is a key component for air freight demand, and we've seen it pick up. But the last time I looked at it, we saw again a downward trend. And an area where you know much more of than I do, Peter, but the fact that the block exemption for the consortia on the ocean will not be extended and the impact that might have among ocean carriers' potential impact or reliability, well, might be a boost for air freight demand in 24.
We are currently at 64.4 in September for global schedule reliability, inching back up by 1.2 percentage point from the month of August that saw a decline. So, I mean, put it into perspective, we are still some 15 percentage points below where we should actually be if we compare the current schedule reliability on ocean to that once was. So Neil, is air freight actually getting a helping hand here by carriers not caring at all, apparently, about being reliable?
What I've been picking up is that because of overall, let's say, subdued demand, the shippers do not care too much now if it arrives a few days or a week later on the ocean side. So I would argue that there's, at the moment, it seems to be, you know, not bad enough to be a boost to air freight.
Something that would perhaps not be a boost to air freight, but maybe the opposite. Allow me to move to a theme number four that we call different winds are blowing due to greener policies. And we have taglined that carbon reduction will come at a cost. My simple question to you, Neil, here, who will have to pay for that?
You.
No way.
Us. No.
Why not the airlines?
Us consumers. We need to pay for that. That would be my take on it.
Will we feel it as a significant high price to pay already in 2024, or do we need to look much further ahead than in terms of the, say, the required net zero emissions by 2050? I mean, what are the airlines up to? Do they give a damn?
And they should. The if we go back to the core, I think things have changed since Al Gore came with his movie, An Inconvenient Truth, here, where we showed the impact of climate change. And my words, then he said, we must change. And over time, that has become like we need to change. And what I've been hearing now more and more at shippers is that they want to change. There's this more intrinsic strive by shippers to reduce their carbon footprint. And they will look even more critically into reducing air freight. There's always a financial incentive. Air freight can be up to 20 times more expensive than ocean freight. So there's always the financial incentive to avoid air freight. But there's also this now this environmental one, which I believe is becoming more and more relevant for shippers. So I could see something on the demand side, but I can also see something on the supply side. Governments, whether they're local or regional, want to reduce or minimize growth at airports, which could limit, let's say, the efficiency of global air freight supply chains, which would then result in more costs. And that will be passed on to shippers and consumers alike. So I could see both on the demand and the supply side changing winds that will affect the efficiency, cost, and I think over time also the price of air freight.
Neil, we have COP28 starting on 30 November. Inconvenient Truth is from 2006. Did we at all change behavior in terms of air freight and air cargo in those, say, 15 years, 17 years in between? Will something come out of the negotiations. Many questions asked by me here, but what should we expect? A huge change? Will it be a watershed moment for air freight 2024 or not?
If you put it like that, I would say not. We also need to put it into perspective.
I do.
There's a lot of push globally for the energy transition. And roughly, I believe, 80% of global demand for energy is being produced, but let's call them more polluting sources of energy, and 20% the more less polluting alternatives. And the aim, of course, is to lower the share of the more polluting ones. When you need to get stuff from A to B intercontinentally, in most cases, you got two options, air freight or ocean freight. So if we make the air freight one the more polluting one and the ocean one the less polluting one per kilogram moved, 97% is already in the less polluting way. So I do not expect that there will be a massive shift from air to ocean. But I could see that it would curb future growth over time.
All right, that will definitely be something that we will watch going forward, something that we will follow quite closely, the impact of decarbonizing global supply chains. And a part of that decarbonizing, I think, also relates to that of, say, capacity deployed by the carriers into the market, be it in the form of pure cargo freighters or be it in the form of passenger airplanes offering belly capacity to those in the need. When allow me to pick your brain on theme number 5 that we have called global capacity growth, taglined global air capacity to recover in 2024. We estimate supply will grow by 2-4%. So please put more meat to the bone. What do we see in this global capacity growth?
Yeah, so actually this one is quite interesting because by now on global level, we already see that capacity is mostly recovered, and especially on the global belly capacity that is actually on par with 2019 levels. But however, if we actually drill down to the regional level, we have this uneven recovery. And that is why we still call it a recovery in 2024, because we certainly see that for the transatlantic market, that has already emerged from pandemic, which is much earlier than the rest of the world, which by today, we already reached a point that's like about 12% above 2019 levels. And that is similar case for the North America to Latin America. We see they have this freight trade agreements there. There's nearshoring. So actually the business activities and also that fuels the demand for air freight. And then we also see the growth of capacity out there. But with this, certain markets have this overcapacity, that will also mean that their market is underperformed, which are mainly focusing in Asia, and that is Northeast Asia specifically. That is mainly dragged by the belly capacity out there. One specific case is China, right? We all know that they only lifted the lockdown restriction from January this year. So by now, I think for airlines adjusting to their winter season schedules, we see that especially concerning the global top two air cargo trades, that's the Asia to the US Trans-Pacific market, and also we have this Asia to Europe, right? For China specifically, we see, I think it was reported very recently that for North America, it was just a 10% recovery on the belly capacity side. That is very shocking, a number comparing to the overcapacity that we just mentioned on the transatlantic side. And then for Europe, it is just slightly better. Right now, it was only 50%. So even though that for these two trades, belly capacity is not a major part of the market, but however, every base counts, right? With the peak season right now, so all this belly capacity, if it is getting released next year, that will definitely give some relief in at least for shippers.
All right, thanks. Neil, I know that you made a comment about the all cargo operators. They will probably feel this some sort of a discomfort. I mean, if I ask a little bit, say, brief here, why would all cargo operators with pure cargo freighters be more impacted by this than those that that service the market with belly capacity?
It has to do with the cost level, hence margins. The passenger flights, they will fly anyway. So you can decide as an airline, you know, what are the costs that I want to contribute to cargo for operating that 777 passenger flight. And you could go as far as marginal cost or variable cost. But if you have an all cargo plane, yeah, there's nowhere to hide. All costs need to be carried by the freight moved. And if we take a longer-term perspective with these asset-heavy companies focusing just on cargo, and I'm not talking about the express parcel operators, but the traditional all-cargo airlines, yeah, over time, right, their margins are razor thin, a low single digit, and that they will feel that now. For those listeners that are not too familiar with the air freight industry, a big difference with the passenger industry is that most passengers go from A to B and then from B to A. So if you sell them a ticket, you're going to bring them one way and then you bring them back. Freight is always one way. And then you got this annoying issue that we have these trade imbalances around the world. So you might be able to get fantastic rates out of Shanghai or Hong Kong, but you got to bring that bloody expensive plane back to Shanghai and Hong Kong to fill it up again. And if that backhaul is struggling, it's all about making a commercially, you know, attractive rotation. And that is where we see a lot of them struggling at the moment.
If you can bring those airplanes into a container, there'll probably be some cheap, say, rates also on the backhaul for ocean shipping that could bring those damn expensive aircrafts back into to where they most want to be, where the cargo is to be picked up. Guys, thanks for sharing your thoughts on global capacity growth and the differences between not only regions but also in terms of operator flights. We have one theme left, and you have called that a steadier market may not bring around comfort to the freight seller market. Signing longer term contracts are becoming more popular again. You allude to the market between shippers and forwarders when here. What is it that we should expect to happen in 2024 when this say steadier market appears?
I think this is also, as we discussed earlier, that I think for next year we will slowly transition to a buyer's market. As we just discussed, that all cargo carriers, they are facing a hard time right now. That is also similar for the for these middlemen freight forwarders. That will also struggle as the recalibration of supply and demand, and especially for the first half of the next year, we're still expecting a soft demand, and with also the correction of the cargo rates, right? So as we're monitoring the data that come in from our shippers, we see there are more and more longer-term contracts that have been fixing this year. And we are expecting this will continue.
Can I interrupt you for a second? Can you put a number to that?
Yes. Oh, yeah, okay. I was just good. About to mention, actually. So, yeah, so for Q3, right now we only see those rates that's valid for up to 1 month. It's literally just like 10% of the total market. Well, on the longer term, 6 or over 6 months, that is already 70%. That is quite a change. And also just for the Q3 compared to the quarter before, that is another 5 percentage point increase. So it's quite something that we see the shift of the market. And we are also expecting, as we are heading to the new tender cycles, this trend will continue. And the one year contracts will not be far away. And I would say that is also coincide as we have this steady market. Then we also see that shippers is also reducing their number of service providers. I think at one point we see there are some shippers contracting over 11 service providers at the same time. But we also see that by Q3, this number has been halved. So what that means is that free forwarders will inevitably have facing a fierce battlefield, I would think. And in order to win business from shippers during a soft market, especially in the first half of next year. And I think we will continue to see there's going to be intense cost management by freight forwarders. And but this is just one part of it. The other part is that at the time that shippers is shifting to a longer term contract, we continue to see on the freight forwarder side that's still procuring on the short term. By Q3, we still see roughly 45% of that volume is shipped under a spot market without a contract. So I think with such kind of behavior, this will likely give up an increased risk for freight forwarders if the market is suddenly experience a volume surge. And I guess that it will be not take longer before the freight forwarders will knock on shippers' door and likely to renegotiate either their short-term or longer-term rates. Yeah.
When you really hit the nail on the head there, and if I can conclude in a very, very short while here, using Cineta data and intelligence will definitely assist you should the market hit turbulence, unexpected or expected, in 2024. Thank you so much for your kind attention to this this podcast, highlighting the six themes of our 2024 air outlook from Cineta. Allow me to thank my guest stars for today, Wenwen Chang, air freight analyst with Cineta for more than 7 years. And thank you also to Neil van der Vouw, our chief air freight officer, for sharing his insights on the future and present market. And to everyone listening all over the world, thank you too for your kind attention. I hope that you enjoyed the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and recommend us. We'll be back next month with a brand new episode.